Blog Talk Radio.
Psychic Talk Radio Network. Welcome, everyone. I'm Dax Carlisle, a tarot advisor, numerologist, coming to you live from Tucson, Arizona. And joining me, as always, is my fabulous co-host, certified tarot master and crystal Reiki master, Mary Brown. And here she is, live from Amarillo, Texas. Hey, Mary. Happy Psychic Saturday.
Happy Psychic Saturday. Hi, Dax. Hi, everybody.
Oh, wow. How's it in Texas? It's warm here now in Arizona.
I'll tell you, it's kind of muggy. It's a little bit muggy. We just keep having rain, and we got a little bit of heat. I think we're supposed to get up in the 80s today, and then it's thunderstorms tonight. We had thunderstorms last night. So it's good for the grass. I won't have brown grass anymore.
Yeah. I mean, we just have rocks, you know, and cactuses in our yard, and I'm out on the patio here. I'm under the shade. It's 90 degrees, but there's a slight breeze, and it feels more like, I don't know, 78 or 80 or, yeah. It's very pleasant today, but it's warming up quickly, so by the end of the show, I'll be like, you know, dripping sweat and
sweltering.
Oh! Hey, speaking of the show, we got a great show for you today. Tarot Master Corby Metlide is back here, and we're going to be chatting about how to be successful at psychic fairs and expos and talking all about those things, because we have a lot of professional tarot readers listening to the show, and, of course, all of our members at the Tarot Guild. You know, so this is going to be a lot of fun. Talking about that, and let's see, we are going to be taking some phone calls later on in the show, so I'll give the phone number out now, and you can all get into queue, because we take the calls in the order that they come in, and as soon as you get through, you want to press 1 on your dial pad, because that'll put you up in the queue saying that you want to chat with us live on air. We'd love questions about, especially if you're a professional reader or maybe you're new to this, questions about psychic fairs, questions about expos, and, you know, take advantage of Corby being here. I mean, she has the only book on the market about this, and we'll be talking about that, of course, a little later in the show as well. So here's the phone number, 714-816-4628. Don't forget, you can also join us in the chat. Yeah, we have a chat post for every show on our Psychic Talk Radio Facebook group, but we have a URL that takes you right there every day. You just type in psychictalk.net/chat, and it takes you right to that post. And you go down into the comments on the Facebook post, and we use it like a chat room. You can discuss the show. You can ask questions about how to be successful at psychic fairs and expos. You can ask anything you want, chat about whatever you want. You can even ask for a mini reading right there in the chat. Maybe you can't call in today, but you can get into the chat post. So psychictalk.net/chat. Otherwise, give us a ring at 714-816 4628. So, Mary, did you pull a card of the day?
Yes, I did. I pulled a card of the day, which I posted on our Psychic Talk Radio Facebook group. If you guys haven't joined, you need to join the group, join in the conversation. We have a page and a group, like the page, join the group. You can find that easily by going to psychictalk.net/Facebook. And I post a card of the day there every day. And today's card comes from the Crystal Medicine Oracle by Rochelle Charman with really interesting artwork by Lynn Hibble. And the card is all about intention. The recommended stone is pyrite, and the item is a staff, like a walking staff. But basically, it's about, you know, the energy of intention. You know, we can create our own path, our own world, our own destiny, and we can manifest our thoughts and our desires, but we have to work with the power of intention to do it. So without intention, you know, there's kind of nothing for all that great energy towards manifestation to really attach to and to take form. We've got to have like a clear intention. So holding a piece of pyrite might be a great way to remind ourselves of what our intention is and what we're trying to do, because oddly enough, it's really easy to lose track of it. So check out that card again and join our Facebook group. And did you get a card of the day?
Yes, I did. I did an article, as I do every day, dose of tarot and numerology. I had to do it kind of hurriedly today. I don't have it out all over Facebook and Twitter yet, but actually I think I do have it on Twitter, but it's on our Tarot Guild group on Facebook. So you can join that group as well. And gosh, I forget, how many members do we have on there? 6,000 something on the Tarot Guild group. Go over there and check it out. But for my card of the day, numerology of the day, go to thetarotguild.com and click on articles. And it's the first one there, or it should be the first one, unless you're listening in archive 2 years later. Hi, everybody, 2 years later. Talk to the future. thetarotguild.com, thetarotguild.com. Click on articles. And basically I asked today, you know, what makes your heart sing? So the card of the day is the Nine of Cups, the wish come true card. Yeah. It's traditionally a card of, you know, good luck, realization of one's dreams and a short future, contentment, even hosting a gathering or something along those lines. And the date today reduces to that seven energy, the seeker. The day is the 15th. 1 + 5 = 6. It's the 6 energy, hearth and home, the nurturer. So basically what I said in the article was, today, take time out and really think about what makes your heart sing. What makes your eyes light up, get you excited? What is your joy? And this actually meshes nicely with your card of the day, Mary, about intention there. Because, well, let me just say that once you start thinking about that, also think about your skill set and how you can serve and nurture others. So the intersection of your skill set, your joy, and how you serve others is what's going to lead to your fulfillment and success. And you can set the intention for that. And that's it. That's my card of the day, numerology of the day. Go over to thetarotguild.com, click on articles, and you can read a little more deeply into that. I did want to mention that today's show, of course, is sponsored by the Tarot Guild, the international organization for tarot lovers, students, and professional readers since 2004. We're coming up on we're going to be in our 18th year soon, coming up on our 17th anniversary. So stop by and visit thetarotguild.com. You can join free as an associate member, and we do certification as well. In fact, our guest today, Corby Mitlide and myself and Mary and most of all the hosts on the network that you hear, we all got certified through the Tarot Guild. And, I got some for spring, I got some really great combo deals going. So when you go over to thetarotguild.com, first thing you're going to see is a banner, and it says combo deals. Just click on that. And whether you're a student or a professional reader, I got something for everybody. So go check that out on thetarotguild.com. Okay. Let's see. Anything else we need to cover, Mary?
No, I think that's it. Why don't we bring on our guest and get the party started?
Let's get the party started. Yay. Certified Tarot Master Corby Mitlide. Let's bring her on right now. Corby, are you there?
I am. Hey, folks. How are you?
Great.
Good. How are you today?
Good. You know, before we even get started, I love the way the intention card and the Nine of Cups card, you said they mesh together. There is a certain way that I read the Nine of Cups that is that little bridge. I remind people that, yes, it is the wishes fulfilled card, but at all, careful what you wish for, because you're going to get it. And that means use your intention correctly to get those wishes fulfilled.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're always attracting, but are we doing it on purpose? Are we doing it with intention? See, that's the key.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
So I thought, you know, you wrote the book on this, and we'll talk about your book in a few minutes, Corby, but I figured the best place to start for having success in psychic fairs is, you know, tell us a little bit of your story. You know, how did you get started doing psychic fairs and expos? And here's the big question. What do you wish you knew then that you know now?
Okay. That's fair enough. I won't roll it all the way back to I started being interested in magic when I was 9. But what I'll say is, let's fast forward to 9/11, all right? I had been doing this stuff since 1994 on the side, but not full-time. But my husband Carl and I watched the towers burn, and I said, honey, I have to do this work full-time. People need to see their other answers out there. He said, I believe in you. Go do it. Now, at this point, I was working 70 hours a week as an executive recruiter for engineering and manufacturing. So how was I going to do that full-time and make sure I could make the money? You know, I didn't have to make 6-7 figures, but I had to get the bills paid, my fair half the marriage. So what I did is evenings and weekends, anywhere I could find, I would start doing the expos. And this is, 2001. In the beginning, I was what can be called a table psychic, which is at the larger fairs, you've got people with the big booths along the wall, they're wall psychics, and then you have the little newbies in the middle who charge a lot less, but they're still readers. So I did that, and there were certain things I always did. I didn't go wandering. I didn't look like I wasn't interested. I was always available for someone to talk to as they passed by my table if I wasn't reading. So within about 2 years, after 1 year I knew I could make a living at it. That's when I, as I say, went and peed on their desk and left. Have never looked back to corporate. But after another year, I knew that I could really step up my game. And so I took the leap because the table fee for a wall psychic is a lot more than just a table. And I literally did every single show I could. From 2002 to 2020, I would do 45 weekends a year on the road. Most of them were within a 10-hour drive. Some of them were out in California, some were up in Ontario, Canada. I live in New York State, so that wasn't awful. But I would put about 45,000 miles a year on the car, and my nickname became the Travel Channel. Now, why was this so valuable? I actually started ratcheting down my business when the universe put a wrench in the monkey works, as they say. I'm 66. That's no chicken. In July of 19, I had a herniated disc, pinched nerve. The pain and agony made triplet childbirth look, well, I got over it with a lot of, you know, PT and things like that and bed rest. But the doctor said, your traveling days are done. You cannot do 10 hours one way in the car anymore. You cannot do the constant load in and load out and sit for 4 days on a hard folding chair. It's just not there. So I said, okay.
Yeah.
But I had done enough work and I had enough of a client base that I was able to move my business online. So that last year, when it was obvious it was going to be the year of Murder Hornet Bingo and Hold My Beer, I did as well as I had done at the psychic fairs. I paid my dues. I built my rep. And now it is effectively exclusively online with me. I may do one or two shows within an hour and a half drive here in New York State, but I'll never be back on the road the way I was. And that's okay. That's why I wrote my book, because, you know, there are 8 billion people in the world, and I can't read them all. And like I say, I'm 66. It is time for me to pass on every single thing I learned to the next generation, and I'm happy to do it.
That's amazing. That's just what you were able to accomplish and really taking that leap of faith to do what you knew you needed to do to make that big change. What do you say to people that are, you know, interested in the Psychic Fair Expo thing, but they don't really understand, like, what's going on? You know, they don't understand the difference between being in the middle of the table and being a booth. They're not sure about the booth fees and table fees and all of that. It's like, how do you even get started in that, you know, kind of very niche kind of part of the larger psychic industry?
Well, for one thing, you don't go to a psychic fair before you've been to a few. All right? So when you go, you're going to see what the setups are. You're going to see, is this a reader show? There are more psychics than vendors. Is it more vendors than psychics? I'm going to be really blunt. What's the class level? I mean, are people there in sequined and puffy sweatshirts with handmade signs with glitter? Or are they dressed like professionals with professional gear? Because that's going to tell you how much you can charge and how much you're going to charge to get in. Because psychic fairs run the gamut. Okay. The first thing you need to do, it is the basics. You have to choose which fairs to do. And to do that, you have to decide how far you're willing to travel. I used to do shows that were 4 days long in Canada, which meant on the road Thursday morning and not back until Tuesday. But I could do that. You want to see, do you want to do the big shows, the ones that have 200 booths, or you want to do the tiny ones? These are all the things that you want. I like shows that are medium-sized, all right? That'll be for me anywhere from 20 to 50 booths. Have I done the big 200 ones? Yes, but they're usually in cavernous convention centers, and the sound acoustics aren't as good, and the floors are concrete, and it's a tougher experience than if you're in a hotel ballroom where they have comfortable chairs because they do weddings, and there's carpeting on the floor, and it's just easier. You're not yelling over other psychics. There's no echo, and it's a more comfortable place. So you have to decide what your style is and how much time you are willing to devote, because you're going to have to do your research first. And what I'm going to tell you is go online, surf the web with the relevant keywords, psychic fair, spiritual expo, metaphysical expo, holistic expo, and see what's out there.
Awesome. And, you know, it's one thing that I think is kind of interesting. I've done a few just local fairs, but what I've noticed is something that we – like, we talk about this, you know, occasionally. We used to talk about it a lot more, but maybe, you know, we talked it out. But, but you know, this idea of clients that go from psychic to psychic to psychic, right? You know, when you're working on a service or something else, you know, it's maybe a little different. But at a psychic fair, that's kind of the fun of it, right? That's kind of what everybody's doing, right? So you have to kind of not worry about that. Do you ever encounter people that were like, well, I just talked to this other psychic who said blah, blah. I was just wondering,
all
like, does that happen to you? Yeah.
God, all the time. Now, there were occasions, especially up in Canada, there was another, you know, really cracked, fabulous psychic. Her name was Judy Abbott. She was like me, no nonsense. And very often, because of our particular vibe, people would go to her and me. And 8 times out of 10, we would tell this person the same thing, but some are different angles.
Right.
But you're not going to necessarily always get wonderful, intelligent seekers who know all the rules. You are going to have to be ready to handle the wet behind the ears rookies who think that the death card means they're going to be hit by a bus on Tuesday. You're going to have to handle the ones that drop names. Well, I've been to Sylvia Brown, and I've been to Lisa Williams, and I've been, and I've been. You're going to have to deal with the people who don't know how to ask questions so that they get the answers they need. I mean, that's one of the things about being tarot master. We have learned over the years how to help people ask the right questions. Someone sits down with me and says, is my business going to be successful? I'm going to look at them and say, and what if I said no, you're going to lose everything and live in a box under a bridge? That's the wrong question. You ask, how do I make my business rock and roll? And I have a deep dish entrepreneur spread for that. Because you are not just the card slapper on a table. You are an intuitive counselor. And you have to listen to the things that are not said by these people who walk in the door. That's a big part of your responsibility. When people come out to the public to see you, and they may not know you from Adam's house cat, but they sit down with you, you have to remember, you have the reputation of every other psychic in the world on your shoulders, especially if you're the first person they ever met who reads cards.
Oh, man. Boy, is that true. So what is now that you have moved your business online,
yep.
Do you miss the road? Do you miss being the travel channel?
There were some I missed. My very favorite show in the whole wide world was a 4-day show I did up in Kitchener, Ontario. It was run by a pair of brilliant promoters, Ray Poche and Stan Mallow. And they had been on the reader side of the table for years. But what they did is they decided when they wanted to hang that part up that they would run the shows and run them well. As a matter of fact, Stan Mallow was kind enough to write the foreword in my book. And they ran it like clockwork. It was professional. They didn't allow any bitchcraft or bull among people there. And you knew that they would do everything they could to give you a great show. So it was about, a 9-hour drive. I do that Thursday. I had a B&B that I stayed at every year for like 15 years, so they became friends. Load-in was about noon. Friday you opened 3 to 9, Saturday and Sunday 10 to 9, both days. Monday 10 to 6, then I'd pack the car and get back over the border. I would read 60 to 70 people in 4 days and do 2 lectures. And I loved it. I was exhausted at the end of it. But the opportunity to work with so many people, you get what I call a reader's high. You are so delighted to be part of their experience that you don't get tired. But there are certain things you need to do to make sure that you don't collapse, things like even though, I mean, being an A-lister, I was from open to close, but I would always make sure my schedule had written down a 15-minute break every 2 hours so I could take a breath, hit the ladies' room, grab a bite to eat. And my front person knew that when I was on my break, don't let people lean over the table to talk to me. Anybody says, well, why can't she read me now? They just don't get readings because they obviously see me as a commodity, not a person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have got to have good boundaries to do these things, kids, or you are going to be a crispy critter in short order.
Boundaries. So that's probably something, you know, my original question about what do you wish you knew then that you know now is setting up those boundaries. Hey, tell us about having a front person.
You've got to have a front person if this show is at all of size. All right. The way I explained it is they're going to be the Radar O'Reilly to your Colonel Potter, the Riker to your Captain Picard, or the Companion to your Doctor. If you want to really concentrate on reading, for you to go back and forth and back and forth, now I have to talk to this person and tell them why they should come here, and now I have to take their money, and now I'm going to sit down and read, and now I have it. Much better for your concentration if you have a front person who can talk about you, tell people your backstory, what your specialties are, schedule the people in, take the money, and all you're doing is sitting and reading. Now, it is, to me, important that you have someone who understands your style. My best front people were always people who had been clients of mine, because just like doctors have different bedside manners, there are some psychics and readers at these fairs that what I call glurpy purple with angels. Hi, I'd love to read you. Let's see what your angel. Excuse me, can I have an angel in chat? Me, I'm from New York. It's like, here are your opportunities and how to grab them. Here's the tough stuff. Here's how to get through it or around it. Here's your toolbox and rock and roll. Now, if somebody wants the much softer person, that's not me. If someone wants pendulum work, past life specialist, though, as well as tarot. So when you train your front person, and you must write up a job description for them so they know what's expected of them, your business will be sharper, and trust me, what you pay them, because you must pay them, will be offset by how much less stressed you are and how many more readings you're able to fit in. What I love to say, though, when I'm at the front table talking, which I do before I start reading, I explain to people, I can tell you I'm wonderful and that doesn't count. And I hire this woman, and I point to my front person to say she loves me. Here's my testimonial book. This is what you want to read. And it's true, because my very first front person was my husband's office manager, Laura. She worked at his museum helping him run things Monday through Friday. She worked for me on the weekends. Do you think that she's going to diss Mrs. Museum Director? No, she's not. So that's why the testimonial books are so important. And even, guys, if you are not on the road yet, the way I always did it, I would have a little spiral-bound book that I would start every January, and Laura or Stephanie or Denise or whoever would, especially if the reading was good, say, would you like to leave a comment for Corby? She really appreciates them. And so when I was off the road in December, I would then take that book, type all the comments up so that they were easily readable, and then put them in a three-ring binder, start with a fresh book the next year. When people see that you have comments from other people that have had readings with you, they are more likely to believe you're a real reader and not just somebody who decided, well, I'll try it today.
Right, right. Well, how do you, one thing that always fascinates me about psychic fairs and stuff is how people set up their booth, how they decorate their table, what do they have around? You know, some people are really elaborate and other people are just, you know, kind of like just the cards. What was your approach? And what is a good idea?
Well, you have to decide what your style is, first of all. And I also talk about that not only in my chapter on designing your booth look, but dress for psychic success. I mean, I came from a corporate background. I am a New Yorker. You are not going to see me in California fringed and sequined. You're just not. I had my look, which was always Chico's is a great clothing line. My black tank and black pants, but over it I would put a really great looking coat, either one of those long velvet dusters, or I had a what I call butterfly coats, which are very lightweight ones that Laura would make for me. Laura was also a fabulous seamstress. So that there was always that look that said sleek, professional. Okay, you remember the old saying, you got to look like you have money to make money. So my booth always looked the same way. I chose my colors very carefully. For instance, I have dark hair, pale skin. I look better in, as they used to say, winter colors, cools. So my booth would always be in things like navy or a deep emerald or amethyst, real jewel tones, picked out with a little bit of gold here and there. The tablecloth was always precise. You don't just throw a tablecloth on and not even see if the border is correct. You get a decent sign. And signs are easy. You can go to Vistaprint. If you go on to Upwork or Fiverr, you can get people who design it. And signs also go in cycles. When I first started in the early 2000s, the big thing in New York State and the East Coast was just your name in big letters and a couple of things about what you do. Then there was a really fabulous designer who did metaphysical collages, and we all went to that. And now it's your face must be prominent, and then you put the stuff on. And by the way, if anybody is interested in contacting this person who is my designer, she still does the work, and I'll be happy to share that with you. So you've got your sign. You've got a neat looking booth. I mean, neat, tidy. You have a back table where you can work, where your cards are available, where if you have any peripherals, like I had a couple of postcards with information I would give people, they're there. If you look sloppy, they'll think your reading is sloppy. You have to look like this is your favorite room in your own house, and you are happy to welcome them in.
I love that idea because I have noticed that for some psychics at some of these fairs, it really does look like it's a room in their house. you feel like you come into their space, and I've always sort of liked that kind of feel, like, you know, because for me it's just like I tend to notice more how I feel, you know, like does that look welcoming? Do I feel like I'm, you know, gravitating towards that one particular space? So that's really interesting because I think a lot of times we don't think about how it's looking to everybody else and the vibe that we're giving off.
One of the other things you should have on your table, absolutely, is what is known as a rack card. Now, it used to be, and it's still, if you want to go really cheap, that's how you can do it, the triple fold flyer. But these days, most of us get what are called rack cards. These are stiffer paper, and on one side is you and your information and what you do, and on the other side, at least for me, I've got some testimonials, one from Canada, one from Florida, and one from the tarot artist Eric Dunn, whose decks Tarot Illuminati and Tarot Apocalypsis are worldwide. So
yeah.
This gives people enough information and looks professional enough to say, gee, she must know what she's doing. Remember, no matter how good you are, if you don't present professionally, you're not going to get people who take you seriously. You're going to get the ones that think that they can bully you into giving them a discount or telling them what they really want to hear. Or you'll even get the ones, they drive me crazy, who walk in front of your booth and say, well, I don't know, why don't you tell me something that you couldn't know about me, and if you're right, I'll have a reading with you. Me, I look at those people and I say, I'm sorry, I don't roll over and fetch either. And I turn my back and they do not get a reading. Because they obviously think that you're there like a trained dog. Please respect yourselves more than that, guys. There'll be somebody else to read. That's not money you want.
Exactly. And, you know, I think a lot of readers listening to this are kind of, and maybe haven't gotten too much into the fair and expo scene. You know, I think a natural question is, you know, what kind of translation is it from the clients that you know that get a reading from you at these fairs and expos? Was it easy to, did they become like regular clients? Did they give you referrals? Did you see that translate into like, you know, kind of a continuous like client base, like building a base?
I would say about 20% of the people that I read at shows became regular clients, and very, very often they would bring their buddies. It's like, you know, I would read Helena. I went up to Kitchener 3 times a year. January, May, and September. And I'd read Helena in May. And then September, when I show up, Helena and 4 of her friends show up, and they all sign up, boom, 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 because Helena said I was such a great reader. Now, remember, I have stamina because I've read for so long. I read about 1,200 people a year when I was on the road. So when you think about only 20% of those, that's 240 people that become regulars. So, and that's what you do. But you also, part of the professionalism, if they have a half an hour reading, you give them a half an hour. You don't go over 45 minutes because you want to be nice and then leave the next person hanging. You have to respect time, yours and theirs. You have to be ready to start as soon as they sit down. So these are all the things I did not know when I first started. I had an inkling about them because I had worked, I mean, my background. I've been an actress, an author, an inspirational speaker. I wrote for 10, 15 years for a graphic novel series called ElfQuest. I've been a video producer. I know what it is like to be in the corporate world. And I was able to take that and translate that into my professionalism on the road. That's one of the reasons that I was invited to the really good shows, because I had the rep with the promoters. You've got to be good to your promoters, because if you're just a problem child, you will not be asked back. I guarantee it.
You know, that's a really good point, because, you know, and I don't know if it's the area I'm living in or whatever, but what I have seen from just the local, you know, shows I've done in my little region here, is there's almost like a sense of entitlement, right? It's like, well, I paid a booth fee, so I expect to be waited on hand and foot, and I expect everything to go perfectly, and I expect that, you know, like there's a lot of that sort of like what I'm entitled to kind of energy, and I can imagine that doesn't really endear them to the promoters at all.
No, that's the attitude that I call my aura don't stink. And trust me, that doesn't fly. I went over with Stan what was important at shows, how promoters want to be treated. And what's important to them is truly that you live up to your billing. You don't promise that you can do something when you can't. You are there on time, because remember, they have their reputation with the clients walking in the door. And if they find out that you know, the show starts at 11 and you just waltz in when you feel like it, that isn't going to work. There are people who didn't get invited back to shows. You may be there for one of them, but you may not get signed a contract.
Right.
There was, now, on the other hand, there are also promoters that you really don't want to work with again. All right, there was one promoter that I used to work with where she decided that I was not wiki-wooier than thou enough, that I wasn't, you know, shiny, and I questioned rules I did not understand and did not seem on the level to me. And I didn't find it. She didn't even have the courtesy to tell me. I had to find out after I kept pinging her for my contract for the year, and somebody else said, oh, don't you know she's been bad now to you? She can't stand you. Okay.
Wow.
These days, is she still promoting? Yeah, she's still doing her little fairs. Do I need her? No. The promoters that I always got along with were the sharpest ones. Stan and Ray up in Canada. Their equivalent in the States was always Bill Trivett and Bob Hall down in York, Pennsylvania. Bill has passed on, but Bob still does the shows with Matt and Kara, who have kind of stepped into Bill's role. This was at the York Fairgrounds. Again, it was one of those 150-booth parties because the promoters so treasured every single one of us that came in. But they insisted, this is when you show up. You don't break down your booth until the show is done. And those of us that were professional with them, they were professional with us. And those are the shows where you're going to make the most money because the public knows how well they're run, and that's where they're going to want to be. So you want into those shows.
Awesome.
What else do you want to know?
So let me just jump in for a second, Corby. I wanted to let everybody know they can, if you're listening live, you can go over to the chat post, psychictalk.net/chat, and I have linked your books. And if you're listening in archive, you'll find it on the show page you're listening on. Or if you're listening somewhere else, just go over to psychictalk.net, our website, and you can click on archive. You can also go to psychictalk.net/Saturdays. For all the Saturday shows, look for the one that says Tarot Master Corby Mitlide. I always mess up your name. Corby Mitlide returns. Look for that one. And I've got her website and a couple of her books on there. Oh, which book is the one for the psychic fairs and everything that everybody should get and read?
Okay. It's You've Got the Magic, Who Needs the Genie? And you can tell by reading the cover, it says The A-Lister's Guide to Holistic Expo Success. It's got a big Aladdin's lamp on it.
Right. Okay, so I've got that one linked, and I've got the Psychic Yellow Brick Road linked as well. You want to tell folks about that real quick?
That actually is very good, especially if you're just starting on the psychic journey. The back says, good psychic guidance is art. Don't settle for a forgery. It is really a book that I wrote for people who just want to come and have intuitive guidance but don't know how. It talks about what we can do, what we can't do, questions that you can ask, when you should run. A lot of my fellow intuitives said, I wish that I had this book when I was just starting because it gave me an idea of what kind of clients were out there and what to expect. So, yes, if you get those two books.
Get them both.
that's basically your setup for making sure that you can hit the ground running.
It's your
and the thing about,
Bible, folks.
The other thing about You've Got the Magic, Who Needs a Genie, is I've got some appendixes in there. It shows you my signage. It gives you my example of how to write up a contract for your front person. It's got mentioned resources. It's the kind of lectures that I do. It's my sign-in sheets. A lot of the actual paperwork that I discuss in the book, you have examples there.
That's awesome. Oh, awesome stuff. So, yeah, head over to the show post, folks, because I've got you've got the magic and the Psychic Yellow Brick Road linked right there, plus Corby's website, CorbyMitlide.com as well. Real quick, let's give out the upcoming shows, Mary, and then we'll come back and take some phone calls. Is that okay, ladies?
Sounds good. Okay. Well, okay, well, let's see what's coming up on the Psychic Talk Radio Network this week. Our next show is going to be Monday, May 17th at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. It's the Wisdom of the Soul show with your host, Janice Fuchs. And our Wednesday show is still on spring break for the month of May, but Catherine Hahn will be back next month. And so our next show this week is going to be on Friday, May 21st, the Doctors Are In show with our very own Dr. Dax Carlisle with his co-host, Dr. Rose Wilkerson. They're going to be talking about how to transform your life with magical angel sigils. And also taking your calls for life coaching and free tarot mini readings. And then I'll be back with Dax next Saturday, May 22nd. Again, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. And it's going to be our Psychic Spin episode on the Tarot Today radio show where we will be asking the cards questions that you want to know from the universe, the big questions. What's the meaning of life? Why are we here? Are we alone? Plus, we'll be doing open lines and tarot mini readings. And you can find all of our shows listed by going to psychictalk.net/upcoming, and the show's there. Back to you, Dax.
Awesome. Yes, I love our Psychic Spin. And in fact, we ask everybody to give us your ideas, your questions. You know, I mean, we've done everything like our robots taking
robots
over the world.
Taking over.
I mean,
well,
we,
it happened.
Corby, you would love this. It's literally, we'll ask the tarot anything, any of the big questions. Yeah.
Oh,
plus,
fabulous.
We take your phone calls. Yeah, I mean, we do take your phone calls during the show for your life questions, you know, career, love, all that kind of stuff. But we like to have a little fun the last Saturday of the month and do the Psychic Spin, where we put a psychic spin on, you know, you could talk about or you could ask about current events or, I mean, just about anything. We'll ask the tarot. It doesn't mean the tarot will answer. But
that's important. Yes.
Yes, but we will ask the questions and see what cards come up anyway. Alrighty, 714-816-4628. If you want to chat with us, remember you can also go over to our chat post. I'm in there right now, and it's psychictalk.net/chat. You can ask questions. You can ask Corby about how to be successful in psychic fairs and expos. Maybe you have a burning question about that, or a burning question about being a professional reader or psychic. And of course, you can ask for a mini reading. We'll pull a card or two for you. Alrighty, let's see who's out there. I've been waiting the longest. It looks like area code 330. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? I think they fell asleep, or they're on the toilet. I don't know. I'm hearing some interesting background noises there. Area code 330, are you there? Hello. Okay, I'm also noticing that the switchboard is acting up here. It's circling, so it could be an internet thing, all right, with the switchboard. So let me put them back on hold, bring their mic live again.
I'm here.
There, we got Hi. You. What's your name, hon? Where are you calling
Leslie
in from?
Leslie from Manhattan, Kansas.
Kansas.
Yeah.
What
well,
did
you're
you
talking
want to talk
with the
about
fabulous
today?
Corby. Yeah, what do you want to chat about?
My continued job search, that I feel that I may be nearing the end soon. Do you see that happening here in the next few weeks, especially with potential to get a position in Ohio?
Which one of us is reading?
We always let the guests go.
Oh,
besides, you're the fabulous Corby Mitlide. I said it right. Anyway,
I'm just a fast card flipper. All right.
That too.
All right. First thing is the Temperance card says the job hunt may go a little differently than you expected. Remember that the angel there throws water from cup to cup and doesn't spill any. That is their emotional mastery. You've got to have that. You can't panic. Over is the Prince of Wands, which says that something is going to come in very, very quickly. But when I see the Prince of Wands, I always see it the way, if you remember, on the carousel, you had the brass ring that you would keep trying to grab. There's a job that's coming. It's only going to be there once. You see this job, they make you an offer. You have to grab it or no. They will not give you time to think about it. Third card is the Justice card, which tells me if there is a contract to sign, be very careful. If you are at all a professional level, check about non-compete clauses. See about... does it mean that if you leave there, you can't do the same kind of work within 200 miles? You're going to get something that's going to pop within 2 to 3 weeks, but you have to look at, you have to go in back of the scenery to make sure that it is really what you want and they're not handing you a line when they hire you for X and they expect you to do your job and two other ones. Got me?
Yes.
Good.
There you go, Leslie.
That's my take.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
I appreciate the call. Hey, I'm letting Corby do this, but I just had a mention, you know, when you said about something coming in and coming in quickly, and I'm pulling cards along with you, and I get the Ace of Wands and the Eight of Wands, and I'm like, oh, my God, that is just so perfect. Anyway, let's see who else is out there. Okay, I don't have an area code for this person. Again, getting all ones on the switchboard here, so I'm just going to bring them on live here. Caller, you're live on Psychic Talk Radio, the Tarot Today radio show. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Okay, give it a second, folks. The switchboard's hanging up again, ickling. It's trying to bring their mic live. I think it's the heat, you know. Yeah, let me put them back on hold. I'm going to try to bring their mic live. There it is. Caller, are you there? Hello? You're live. Yes, you. It's you. It's hard when you don't have an area code. And we don't have a screener to get us names here.
Yeah.
Caller, are you there? Okay, we're going to put them back on hold. We're going to go to area code. We'll come back to them. We're going to go to 205. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Patricia. Thank you for taking my call. And
where are you calling in from, Patricia?
It is Patricia. Hi. Hi, Mary.
Tell everybody where you're calling in from.
I'm calling in from Alabama.
Alabama.
Alabama. And my question is, may I please ask for a general read? Thank you.
Okay, general read, I'll usually do 4 cards, what you need to know physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually at this turn. Seven of Cups, what that tells me is you are blowing your energy in 72 different directions, my darling. You have to ratchet it down. You have to decide where you're going to put your energies, and you have to figure out your priorities. Mentally, Six of Cups. That's the kids card for me. And mentally, that says you need to scrub out your brain a little bit from all of the work. You need to go play. A little less serious, a little more razzle-dazzle. Emotionally, King of Cups card, which says whoever is the most important man in your life, husband, brother, son, father, whatever, they would like a little more attention, please. And spiritually, the Temperance card, like I got last time. The Temperance card is the angel that has water going cup to cup, but they also have 1 foot in water and 1 foot on land. So what that says is spiritually you have to decide where am I now and where do I want to go in order to maintain my emotional strength and direction. So put it all together. Set your physical priorities. You cannot do everything for everybody. Remember that no is a fabulous idea. And give yourself a little bit of relaxing time so then you can handle the men in your life that basically need the coddling and the fussing.
Nice.
I don't have a man in my life, though, but that is beautiful. Everything else is right on point, but I am welcoming that man in my life.
That's fine. And the other thing is you may have a male boss. You may. I have three male cats, and they're very demanding. So it's whatever male energy is in your life. It's not necessarily the cute one who takes you out to dinner.
Thank you. That was beautiful.
My pleasure.
Thank you all.
Thanks, Patricia. Enjoy the rest of your weekend there. Okay, we're going to see if we can squeeze one more in here. We're going to go to it's another line where I don't have an area code, so we're just going to cross our fingers, bring their mic live. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, my name's Suzanne, and I'm calling from England.
England.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
England.
Welcome.
What did you
aboard.
Want to talk about?
Yeah. I just sort of want to put my mind at ease at the moment. I've got a holiday home somewhere, and I've got someone that looks after it, and there was sort of a registered note left there, and I'm trying to find out through, because I'm not in the country, what it's about, and it makes me a little bit nervous. I don't know what it is. It could be something to do with anything to do with the house. I don't know. But I just want to put my mind at ease because I'm trying to find out, but I haven't been able to find out yet because I haven't been able to be there for it's been a long time. So just wondering if you get any vibes around it and if it's nothing to worry about or what you pick up.
All right, tree card, Seven of Pentacles, Ace of Pentacles, and Alchemist. The fact that it's been delayed, I don't think that's going to be the biggest problem. I think it does have something to do with something financial, but the Alchemist is usually good news. So, no, you know, you're not being sued for 83,000 quid. You are not losing out by not getting to it yet. Within the next 10 days, I would advise it. Get it, you know, have somebody open it and read it to you. But I don't think that it is anything that is going to panic you or give you problems.
Okay, so it's nothing serious.
So it's what I call administrivia. It's administrative, but it's a small thing.
Yeah, that's what my agent down there said. He says it doesn't look like it's anything to worry about because he knows where they come from. So I don't know. It could be something to do with re-raging the house or something. I'm not sure. But it just because I haven't been able to find out yet, I'm a bit nervous. So you don't think it's anything big?
No. No. I think you're going to be fine.
Okay. Thank you. That's a big relief.
Thanks, Suzanne.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Call in all the way from Great Britain. And we did that so quick. I'm going to try to get this caller that the line wouldn't connect and we couldn't get them. Let's try. This will be our last call here. If I can bring them live. Caller, are you there? Hello. Still nothing. Boy, that's bizarre. Yeah, it's all ones. So it's either a private number or long distance, like Suzanne was calling in from Great Britain or, you know, Skyping in. You can Skype in and stuff. Okay, so we couldn't get through. All righty, so that's it. That's Tarot Today Radio for this Saturday, May 15th. We're halfway through May already. My God, it's going to be my birthday in like 4 weeks. Halfway through the year, June 16th. Oh, wow. What a fun show. Thanks for coming on again, Corby. We have to have you back, of course.
Oh, a pleasure. I always love playing with you guys.
Thanks for all the great information today, and it definitely, I hope everybody goes to the links, checks out your website, and gets the books if they don't have them already, because this is valuable information that we very rarely get this kind of information from other readers, you know, and I love that you are so generous with it.
A lot of people are afraid if I tell other people how to be successful, I won't be. No, guys, there is enough to go around. We need to lift each other up, and I am happy to help people who want to go out on the road.
Yeah, awesome. It's that lack mentality that the pie is so big, you know, and you have to get your piece, but it's just not true. The abundance pie is infinite, folks. There's room for all of us.
Yes.
Awesome.
The abundance pie. I'm going to get me a slice of that abundance pie.
Yeah.
I love that.
So we'll be back. We'll be back next week. Don't forget to tune in Friday. I'll be here with Dr. Rose. We're going to be talking about those angel sigils. And Mary and I will be back for that psychic spin. Get a hold of Mary or I. Let us know what big questions you'd like us to ask the tarot. It's going to be fun. Thanks to all our listeners and callers. We don't have a show without you. And a special thanks to our fabulous guest, Certified Tarot Master Corby Mitlide. I said it right. Yeah. Okay.
You did.
You'll get it. You got it now.
By the third or fourth show, you know, with Corby as guest, you know, we'll have it down. All righty. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye, Mary. Goodbye, Corby.
Take care, folks.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, Corby. Bye, Jack. Bye, everybody.
Good night, John Boy.